Before I start sharing with you my message, for this wonderful Mission Sunday, I would like to thank you so much for inviting me to come. I would like to thank you so much, Pama's family. Thank you so much for hosting me. Tasha, your husband, thank you so much for working on my papers so that I can be able to come. This Sunday, I would like to share with you a passage from the book of Luke, chapter 5, from verse 17 up to verse 24. A story where Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. I will not read it again, but I would like to encourage you to take some time and read it again. And the message for this Sunday is partnership in mission. In chapter 5 from verse 1, Luke points out three different stories. From verse 1 up to verse 11, Jesus calls his first disciples, Peter, James, and John. And then from verse 12 up to verse 16, the book of Luke chapter 5, Jesus heals a man with a leprosy. And then from chapter 17 up to 26, Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. So reading this story of some men who came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat to Jesus has reminded me of a famous proverb we have in my country, Rwanda, saying that it takes the whole village to raise up a child, which means that everyone in the village has a role to play to grow a child. The whole village has a part in the responsibility to raise up a child. In fact, in some cultures in Africa, as well as here in Europe, I know that a child belongs to a community. So this is exactly the same principle of reaching people here in London or in Nairobi, where I live now, in Tunis, in Brazil, for Jesus. I believe that it takes the whole church to reach someone somewhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone has a role to play. I like how the Rosanne movement formulated it, saying that the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. So this story in the book of Luke chapter 5 from verse 17 up to 24 is a very interesting story. I think some of you have already preached on the same passage. Others have read some books explaining this story. But also, I want to encourage us again to have a deep reflection and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So the passage before us is a passage that brings to our attention the power of Jesus Christ to forgive sins, but also to heal diseases. From verse 17, Luke chapter 5, Luke points out to us that the one day Jesus was teaching and a large crowd was there to hear what he was teaching. So Luke also points out that the presence of Pharisees and the teachers of law who were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. At that time, they were Jewish religious leaders considered as the shepherds of opinions. These were also experts of the law. They could decide what to believe and what not to believe. And we read in a different passages in the New Testament that several times Jesus confronted them in different matters related to religion. So in fact, when you read Luke chapter 5 verse 21, these Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking and questioning the personality of Jesus, who he is, what he can do, and what he cannot do. So in the midst of all of that, Luke also points out something very interesting to us in verse 17, that the power of God was present in that room. Despite all the obstacles, critics, the crowd, Pharisees, the presence of God was present to heal the sick. From verse 18 up to verse 7 to 19, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. This is one of the interesting part of my message for today. First of all, the Bible does not give us a lot of details about these men. their names. Even Luke doesn't even talk about how many were they. But when you read the book of Mark, we read that there were four men. We don't know where they were coming from, the distance they walked, how they got the idea, who started the initiatives. Even though we don't have all those details, but we know what it takes to carry someone on a mat. We read what Jesus said about their faith. So this story can reflect the picture of togetherness, joint effort, coming together for a good cause. This is what God is calling us to do for Global Mission, a call to do all we can to bring our needy friends to Jesus. So this paralyzed man could not reach Jesus without someone introducing him to Jesus. He could not walk. He needed a help. He needed someone to bring him to Jesus. Thank God for these four men. I like how the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans chapter 10, verse 10 to verse 13. Paul said that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But this is a challenge from verse 14 up to verse 15, the book of Romans chapter 10. The Bible says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Verse 15, Romans chapter 10. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Allow me to share three key things we can learn from this man for Global Mission. I hope that you cannot forget the three things. Just after this service, I hope that the three things will keep somewhere in your mind. The first thing we learn from these four men, this man knew who Jesus was. They had faith in him. They were convinced and determined that their friend could get a healing miracle if we met with Jesus. And in fact, in verse 20, as I said, Jesus saw their faith, and he then said to the paralytic man, friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw their faith. The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he told the paralytic man that your sins are forgiven. The biggest challenge you can face in mission today is to share what you have not experienced yourself. Let me repeat again. The biggest challenge we can face in mission today is to share what you have not experienced yourself. Praise God, because these four men, they had faith in Jesus. They know who was Jesus. The second thing we can learn from this story, Luke shows us that these men were united, determined, and very courageous. These men walked a certain distance. And to be honest, carrying someone on the mat is not an easy task. They were united. They had a passion. They joined their efforts. They worked together to bring their friend to Jesus. Luke does not tell us who brought the idea, but as you can imagine, they had compassion and they were ready to pay the cost for this mission. When Jesus prayed for the church in the book of John chapter 17 verse 20, he prayed for the unity of the church so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is a unity for evangelism, to be one with the Father, but also to be one for the global mission. God has sent Jesus Christ to save the world. Today, there is so many to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the generations keep coming in large numbers. This is a call for everyone. This is a task for the whole church. It almost always takes more than one person to bring someone to Jesus. It almost always takes more than one person to bring someone to Jesus. So together in missions means everyone in the church using his or her gift for the gospel. Together in missions means the unity of the church with the same purpose and the same passion. Preach and exalt Christ alone. Together in mission means bridging the generation gap. We need to engage young people in God's mission. Together in mission means the partnership of the church in the global south and the global north in mission. When we talk about missions and missionaries, we should no longer thinking only about cross-culture from north to south. Mission has become from everywhere to everywhere. In fact, I want to change a little bit some of the things people keep saying, that we need missionaries from Africa to come to Europe. Yes, that's very good. That's fantastic. That's why we are here. But also we need you to come from north to south. Some people can ask me, really? Do we need us to come? Yes, the need is huge. We need you to come the same way you need us to come. It's from everywhere to everywhere. Since 2013, my organization, African Enterprise, has started mobilizing sub-Saharan African churches to go north, to reach North Africa. We praise God for the great work in mission that is being done in Tunisia, in Morocco, in Algeria, in Libya, by sub-Saharan African missionaries. Maybe in the afternoon, when we'll be meeting around 4, I will share more about how God is doing amazing things to mobilize the church in sub-Saharan Africa to send missionaries in North Africa as well as other countries in Sahel Belt. In October 2018, God also awakened my heart through these interesting statistics produced by United Nations on world population growth. That statistic says that by 2050, a quarter of the world will be Africans, which means that 1 out of 4 people in the world will be Africans. 1.2 billion people will be added from now in the next 20 years or 30 years. So 1 out of 4 people in the world will be African. And more than 8% of that increase will be living in cities, especially in slums. By then, my son will be 38 years, so I will be 72. This question came in my mind. So then, who will evangelize them? In the following month, in November last year, 2018, the Global Executive Director of Lausanne Movement, Mike O, he came to speak here last time, posted on his Facebook page a research done by Operation World, saying that by 2050, half of evangelicals globally will be Africans, will be from Africa. Half of evangelicals globally by 2050 will be from Africa. So this is my challenge. Without making and multiplying discipleship, what quality of Christians will we be showing, casing to the world? Back to our story in the book of Luke chapter 5, from verse 18, the third and the last point that Luke points out to us is how these men were very creative. They tried to get in through the door, but they could not get in. Maybe they tried the back door, they could not get in. They tried to pass through the window, they could not get in. But the only option left for them was to pass through the roof. Some Bible translation says that they dug the roof. These men felt that they had to bring their friend to Jesus Christ, regardless of the obstacles that were before them. Nothing was going to stop them from their objective to bring this paralytic man to Jesus. So where there is a will, there is a way. If you can't reach somebody on one way, try another way. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ will never change. But the way we package it, the way we package it for this generation, for millennia, requires creativity without compromising the truth of God. In some regions like North Africa, God will use us as business people, as students, as government workers, and so on. From verse 20, finally, these men, the four men in the book of Luke, they succeeded to remove the roof and they bring their friend to Jesus. When Jesus looked up to them, he saw their faith and he said to the paralyzed man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It's amazing to see two new things here which were not expected in this room. First, Jesus calls a paralyzed man his friend. He said, my friend. Second, Jesus realized that the biggest need for this man was the forgiveness of sins. He was a sinner, but he was a friend of Jesus. Remember that the greatest need for these four men, for their friend, was a physical healing. They brought this man thinking like the biggest problem he has a physical problem. But Jesus saw sins in his life, and he wanted to deal first with his sins. I'm very sure that Jesus knew his life in details. He didn't see his healing as the greatest need for his life. He saw the sin in the life of this man and the need for forgiveness as the greatest need in the man's life. That's why Jesus turned to him and said, "Your sins are forgiven." So the paralytic man received the forgiveness of God by grace. I was just meditating about this scripture, about this story. I realized that this man, he didn't deserve it. He was not even aware about his sins. He was lying on a mat. He was just expecting a healing miracle, a physical miracle. But Jesus, by his grace, Jesus told him that your sins are forgiven. The Bible says that God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. We have been saved by his grace. To heal the man's body would have made his life more comfortable. But without healing of his soul, he would have died and faced God's righteous judgment. So this is a challenge of the prosperity gospel in Africa, as well as in the other part of the world. Some of the missionaries who came in Africa many years ago, they preached a wrong message. In that time, Christianity was a religion of the poor. They preached that blessed are the poor. Now today, with the prosperity preachers, Christianity is becoming a good news for everyone who wants to become rich. So we move from one extreme to another extreme. But if the Bible's message about death and eternal life is correct, then forgiveness of sins is the main need of every person. People don't primarily need their problem to be solved. People need to know with assurance from God that their sins are forgiven. As Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, what profit is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? There is something much more important than having a healthy body or plenty of money. There is a need, a genuine relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and then the rest will be added. The more I travel in many countries with my role as International Missions Director of African Enterprise, but also as a global catalyst for Lausanne movement. In fact, I have been counting in the last 7 years, I managed to visit more than 40 countries in the world. The more I observe the political, economic, social crisis, leadership crisis we have around the world, the more I become convinced that the world needs Jesus Christ and the church has a role to play. The statement made by Jesus Christ in that room, forgiving the sin of the paralytic, created a confusion in the mind of Pharisees and teachers of the law. The group of Pharisees and teachers, they were wondering, who is this person who can forgive sins? Only God can do it. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. He sees in the heart of people. In verse 24, he told them that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Verse 25, in the same chapter, immediately the man stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. Verse 26, everyone in that room, including Pharisees and teachers of the law, were amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with joy and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Friends, I don't know what you see as the greatest need for the world today. There is a strong spiritual need. There is a strong spiritual emptiness in the heart of people. I don't know what you think about your friends. What is the greatest need in their lives? I don't know if you agree with me that the greatest need here in Europe is to bring back God in the center, at the center of everything. I don't know if you see that the togetherness, working together for mission, can help the global church to finish an unfinished task for evangelism. I don't know if you see it as your responsibility to introduce your friends to Jesus. You can invite them to church. You can give them a Bible. You can pray for them. You can give your money, your resources for the global mission. You can invite them tomorrow here for the Christianity Explored tomorrow evening. As I said in the beginning, it takes the whole village to raise up a child. This is the same reality for the global mission and for evangelism. It takes the whole church to introduce someone, somewhere, to Jesus Christ. Everyone has a role to play for the salvation of our nations. I don't know your country. Maybe you came from China or Japan or Africa or Brazil, or you are from here, you are British. Everyone has a role to play for the salvation of our nations. I know that all of us are not to be called evangelists, like me or Billy Graham, even other evangelists who are sitting here. All of us, you are not called to be vicars, pastors. But all of us, we are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our spheres of influence, in the workplace, using your business, using your skills, using your position in a different influences. I believe that this morning, there are two kind of people in this church. Some of us will be like friends who need to partner with others in their desire to bring someone to Jesus. But perhaps some of us are like this paralytic man. We have not yet able to get to Jesus. So before I conclude my message, if you belong to the second group, I have a good news for you. Maybe your greatest need this morning is to have a personal relationship with God in Jesus Christ. You always feel there is a spiritual emptiness in my heart. Maybe you are hopeless like me. What I passed through during the genocide, I was completely hopeless person. But today, I can testify that it's possible. You can get a hope. So I don't know that maybe you feel like there is a disconnection between you and your Creator. You are trying to find the meaning of life. You are confused about what you see on TV. You are confused about stories you are hearing. You are still a sinner who deserves that forgiveness from God in Jesus. The good news for you is that Jesus came to save the lost. He died on the cross because of you. If you open your heart this morning and you accept him as your king and your savior, he is able to change you and he will give you a new hope. If he has done it for me, he can do it for you. I want also to encourage the whole church to pray and ask God to revive the church here in Europe, to revive your passion for evangelism, to introduce someone somewhere to Jesus. I have a good news. God is working in different parts of the world. He wants to partner with you. He wants to use you. Just this morning, say yes to him. Pray a simple prayer, but very powerful. Say, God, here I am. Use me. God can do it. Let's pray. I know that we have more time. You can meet us after this service. You can even just engage with Tasha, with other people here who are involved with the world mission. But I want to encourage you to make a decision. Think about your life. Think about how you think about God. Maybe you are in group one or group two. You need to partner with us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ in this hopeless world. Yes, Africa needs money, but Africa needs more Jesus than money. Think about it. Europe needs Jesus more than any other thing. But also you may be sitting here, you see, but me, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I've been coming to this church for many years. Maybe I have the same story. I was born in a Christian family, but I don't have a personal relationship with God. So this is your time. When I will be praying, just pray with me. And then after the service, I'm sure that they will tell you how you can meet with some people in this church who can help you to start a personal journey with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message this morning. We thank you for the calling to take the responsibility to introduce our friends to our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everyone who is sitting in this church to pray our Lord to reach many who are lost, who don't have hope. Father, I pray for those who have not had a personal relationship with you, God. Visit them, change their lives, give them the same way you did for me many years ago. Father, we thank you, we glorify your name. Thank you for Jesus who came to die for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is a hope for our nations.